couple of chapters, maybe if they're that fortunate, and they say, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, you didn't put anything into it. You spent more time reading the TV guide than that. And I know you spent more time reading the menu at a restaurant than that. I'll tell you what, you will get out of the Word what you put into it. And it's a good place to start. You will get out of being in the presence of God what you put into it. Remember what we talked about last night? You make preparation for a visitation. The reason you start reading the Word is because you need an answer. You're hungry. You've found out in your life you're not where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be. And you've got to go to a source book. It's amazing to me how many helps and sources there are out there. You can spend the rest of your time reading those things and they'll never change your life. I promise you that. You can say, oh, I went through a life change experience. I promise you this. If you did, if you ever got a life changing experience, you got it from God. You didn't get it from anything or anybody else. We have to give God the glory in all things. I've had some life changing experience in life threatening experiences. You understand? I didn't read a book. I used to, when I was young, I used to drive faster than most people flew. That was just the way I did. I wanted to know how fast it would go, and then I wondered if it'd go a little faster. And it didn't make any difference. I used to scare people to death running over 100 miles an hour just because it would do it. I didn't know I was in danger. I was too stupid to know. I was the only one, right? One time I was driving the speed limit, doing everything right, and somebody hit me and caused a severe rollover, and their miracles came out of that. But I don't know exactly what happened, but from that day forward, I went through a life-changing experience that caused me to drive a lot differently. Why? Because of an accident? Oh, sure, sure. That lady going to sleep and hitting us, that was in-depth study, correct? No, man, a touch of God, a hand of God said, if it takes this, this is what I'll do. If you can't find out or understand any other way, then let's do it your way. If you can't read the speed limit signs, if you can't understand the warnings, whatever it takes to save you, that's what I'll do. That's the way God operates. It's the way the presence of God is. The presence of God here, being here all the time, is to save us from ourselves more than anything else. That's why we study the Word, so that the light comes on and we see, oh, yuck, that doesn't look good. I don't think I want that anymore. We walk into the presence of God. We were singing about enter into the Holy of Holies. Where is the Holy of Holies now? Where? There was a division line at one time. There was a division where we could not go in. And I love that song, and I love the thought of that song. But if you want to know the presence of God is here, the Holy of Holies is just concentrating on Him. Take me in is what He does. There's a special place, just as there was a garden in Eden, there's a special place, Eden being the entire presence of God over the face of the earth, there's a special place when we want to, God says, by the way, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, do you remember that God visited them? Even though that's where He resided? That's where He lived, in the garden. That's where His throne was. But He came along in the cool of the day, they fellowshipped. God's choice. Do you understand that? They didn't cry. They didn't fall. They didn't fast. They didn't weep. They didn't gnash their teeth. They didn't do all of these things that religion wants to teach you. He wanted some fellowship. And they got the most out of it. That's the presence of God. And then when there's that special time, when God wants to tap you on the head, you ever do that to your kid when they're not listening? You go, get your attention, doesn't it? That's where my mom, when we were in church and we were bad, she'd thump you on the back of the head. Oh, that was irritating. But it caused me to sit still. My dad could threaten to whip me. It didn't make any difference. I was going to get a whipping for something. It didn't make any difference what. But mom, she'd just go, the presence of God is all of these things. It's the accident. I hate to tell you that, but it's the things that God causes in your life to change you, to make you better, not to cripple you, not to wound you, not to make you mentally unstable. What He does causes growth. How you take it is up to you. What He does will cause you growth. How you take it is up to you. If you're prepared in the Word, then you're prepared for visitation. A visitation will always grow you. It will never stop you or stunt you. It just won't do it. If you go around moping and say, do you know what God did to me a long time ago? You took it wrong. You just took it wrong. You didn't understand who touched you. You didn't understand what he said. You missed it somewhere. Listen, if there's something in your life that you're holding against God, and about 95% of all Christians, there's something in their life they're holding against God. I don't know if that surprises you, but that's why the church is not any stronger than it is. They've got a grief with God, a gripe, a grudge. They have not forgiven God. Why do you think that we have so much hard time forgiving people? Because we don't forgive ourselves. I understand that. But let's go back to the point where we haven't forgiven God. We haven't released it. All right, let's go that direction just for a minute. I got notes, but the pastor's been doing a good job trying to say this in so many different ways. We need to get it. We're never going to succeed in any parts of our life without learning to loose. Now, the Bible, in all the hundreds of times it uses the word forgive, if you'll go back to the dictionary, you'll find out every one it defines as loose. Let me show you something that I was taught in the church too, and I was taught wrong. You've got to forgive, right? You've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. Okay. That's a good statement. It's good teaching. It's misunderstood, but it's good. Let me tell you where it's good. Anybody in here got a car payment? You got a car payment? I forgive you. Now you don't have to make payments anymore. You got a house payment? Anybody got a house payment? I forgive you. You don't have to make house payments anymore. Now I've fulfilled the obligation of the church and the law. I have done my duty and forgiven you. Are you forgiven? Why is that? What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Why doesn't it work that way? It can't be God's word. God's word is never wrong. It's never false. So why doesn't it work that way? The difference is the debt was not owed to me. See, I don't have the right to forgive a debt that is not owed to me. Now, if you sin against me, no, that's the wrong statement. Can you sin against me? Now, she's answering correctly. You cannot sin against me because the price was paid by somebody else, not me. You can't do anything wrong that is defined as sin against me. You can only sin against God. So if we understand house payments, car payments, what about sin payments? Who only can forgive? Why is that? Because you can only sin against him. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Not what's forgiven in earth is forgiven in heaven. What's loosed? If I have an offense, it's my problem. Do you understand that? How many of you have got offended over somebody's driving? Did they even know about it? So you didn't bother them at all. You just raised your blood pressure 10 points, right? I mean, we've seen instances where they'll chase somebody down and have a fist fight. Didn't teach them a thing. They just went to jail. If we can learn this fact, you know, you did whatever, fill in the blanks, you got thousands of them. It's up to you now to say, it's not important. I loose it. Now what's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Who's earth? This thing that gets offended is earth. This thing wants to carry an offense. It wants to carry a hate. It wants to carry a grudge. Which, by the way, you can't take that into the presence of God. You're not going into the Holy of Holies with a grudge. There's not room in there for that. Why? Because that's darkness and light drives out darkness. If you're going to keep your darkness, you can't go into light. Now, does that make sense to you about loosing and forgiving? I promise you, if we can get this down, this is a miraculous thing if you can get a hold of it. It will make you run up and down the seats and try to crawl. If you can get a hold of this, if you can stop taking offenses, then you're starting to give life, and that more abundantly. Well, you have to go around saying, I forgive you, I forgive you. No, and don't do this, and don't smoke ropes, and don't sprinkle holy water. Just loose it. Just loose it. Say, no problem. I had a guy that was funny today. Out of the blue, this young man, remember we went over there to look for him, the guy that wanted a job, and supposed to show up, and he didn't. All right. He showed up today. young man that applied for a job, and I was excited about hiring him, wanting him to go to work, and he just didn't show up. He shows up today. I says, how many months? 3-4 months. And he looks me up, and he says, I got to tell you, I'm sorry. First, I had to recognize him. Oh, I know who you are. Yeah, okay. I didn't say, I know who you are. Because I've done some dumb things before, too. I said, yeah, I know who you are. You still want to work? Now, is that God? He said, my conscience has been killing me. Why is that? Because I told you I'd be back, and I wasn't back. Now, I said, why didn't you come back? He said, I couldn't pass the UA. Now, I know none of you know what that is. That's your analysis. I can't. I couldn't pass it. Okay? He said, are you mad? I said, that only hurt me. What do I want to be mad about? Don't mean to be rude, but you haven't cost me 1 second's worth of sleep. Do you want to work? Well, yeah. Can you pass a UA? Yeah, I can now. Now, do you hear what God is doing in this? I mean, the guy just didn't want to work, but his conscience bothered him. Whose? What is a conscience? It's me wanting to do good. Oh, no, no. It's good wanting to do me. That's what a conscience is. This man shows up and he says, forgive me. I said, I don't hold grudges. I have no problem. You want to work? Show up for work. Little thing? Mm-mm. Not to that man. He wasn't sleeping good. Little thing to me? Possibly. Except my response has to be pure. I'm not going to hold those things against him. Why? Because it makes it hard for me to be in the presence of God. If I go around trying to forgive you, I am blocking God. I'm going to say this until we get it down. Because what I've done, do you think that banker that owns your notes, does you think he uses debt for his advantage? Do you think that God is dumber than a banker? Do you think that he could use the debt that's owed him to God's and that person's advantage? See, I don't want to put a positive spin on sin, but what the devil meant for bad, God can turn to good, right? Amen. So if there's a sin debt owed to God and I have not yet taken care of that myself, he can use that if I don't get in the way. I don't need to go over here and paint a cross on your forehead and say, now you don't owe anybody anything, because I don't have that ability. I've just gotten in the way of God, and I'm not going to do that for you. You know what my job is? The Word. Do you think the Word is unforgiving? In the way it's written and read, it's unforgiving. Do you understand that? It is law and it's unforgiving. Not even the Word itself, the written Word itself will forgive you. It takes the hand of God. Who first visits for forgiveness? You to God or God to you? Isn't that cool? You owe the debt. You insulted, you did wrong, and he is the first one to come to you and say, can we make a deal here? I'll give you life. I will forgive you. All you have to do is give me your life. Pretty good deal for the banker. Pretty good deal for you. Amen? Let's learn to loose. Remember what I said? If you want a visitation, make the preparation. You want to make the preparation, you start. Don't ask for forgiveness. Ask for looseness. You are already forgiven. No? Anybody here not forgiven yet? That's too quiet. Do we need to pray a lot here? Or what? Are you forgiven? See, if you're forgiven, you're excited about that. You don't mind saying, you, I am, yeah. Then what are you working on? You're to work your salvation out with fear and trembling. What kind of work is that? I can tell you the biggest work there is. You don't owe me a thing. You don't owe me a thing. You don't owe me. I'll take it on the other cheek for you. Here, you want my coat? Take my breeches too. Do you understand? That's what God says. And if we can get that down, that doesn't mean we lose our... That makes me really macho, not less macho. Because that makes me able... That man, that young man walked up and asked for my forgiveness, and I wasn't preaching to him at all. Now, who's the macho in the crowd? Well, God is. And God, through me, makes me feel good. I got a feeling that that young man's going to get saved and changed before this is over. Not my plan. I walk forgiven. But God wants to forgive. He makes the first effort, right? He wants to forgive. Don't get in the way. Just loose it. You know what loose means? Let it go. You got to have a grip on it before you can let it go, right? You've got to have it pinned, caged. You've got to own it in some way before you can let it go. Let it go. But you don't know how smart I am. I got this plan. Oh, now I know how smart you are. Maybe you need to get a little smarter. Let it go. Loose it. Do you think there's any harder work than that? Is there any harder work than loosing? How many people do I need to look at? Is there any harder work in the world than loosing? It cost Jesus his life. I don't want to tell you what I'm seeing right now, but I'm going to tell you, some of you got some macho things in you you need to get taken care of. There's nobody that's ever done anything to you that's worth you going to hell over. And you need to grow up. There's nobody, nothing's ever done, been done to you that is worth causing you to go to hell. And if you don't like that, then let me just tame it down for you soft people. There's nothing anybody's ever done to you that's worth you living in poverty and want and lack and need. And that's what unforgiveness or unloosing will do to you. It makes you the debtor. I sometimes can get hostile when the Holy Spirit doesn't like what's going on. And I'm not going to take the blame. I'm free. I'm trying to loose you. I really am. That thing that bothers you the most. Can I give you a real good description of the presence of God, our God? He finds your sore spot and pokes it. That's my God. I don't know if he's yours or not. But he will find your sore spot and go, And you go, oh, that's sore. Oh, that's sore. I'll stop when you get it straight. Otherwise, I love you too much to stop. The minute you get comfortable, ooh. The sinner that came to me and said his conscience was bothering me. Oh, we go, praise the Lord, he's a dirty, rotten sinner. Oh, come on, man. God is the one that pokes for righteousness. That's what it's about. It's what teaching's about. It's what the Word's about. It's what study's about. It's to cleanse us. A husband is supposed to wash his wife with the Word. Wash her. She's not dirty. You just got too smart for your britches. Follow the orders. But you don't, God, what are you talking to me about? I went down to that altar on a certain day, certain time, and I asked for forgiveness, and God says, I forgave you too. But, there's the thumb. Doesn't mean you're a sinner. It means there's something you haven't loosed, that you haven't taken care of. Used to scare me to death. Some of the things that the church taught. I was afraid to be a Christian. If you give your heart to God, he may require you to be a missionary. I don't want to be a missionary. Y'all ever had that before? No, there's no church people in here. He may call you to preach. Every preacher I knew, I didn't want to preach. I had two uncles. Didn't like them either. They were preachers. I used to say this openly. I'm going to tell you how God works. Talking about the thumb. I used to openly say that. You got to have your brain sucked out to be a preacher. So now I are one. Y'all ever have those kind of attitudes? God's a good God. Be careful about the decisions you make without him. Be careful about those decisions, because the presence of God will hover over the face of the deep. The presence of God will hover even on that and minister to, if you like that word, on that doesn't even look like him yet. Why? So eventually it'll look like him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come. I'm not so good I don't need to be melted down one more time. I like the refiner's fire. Tell God that I like the refiner's fire. Heat it up. Seven times more, I get promotion after that. Come on, it'll put me in charge of something once I go through a fire seven times hotter than normal. Am I telling stories you're not familiar with? If I asked you to line up and tell me your story, you'd have one. But the end of that story needs to be, it is finished. I don't care what the story is. Jesus could have said, but you don't know how they beat me and bruised me and pulled my beard out and pulled my hair out and they drove this and that through me. But he didn't. He did his work and then he said, it is finished. And he didn't whisper it. With a loud voice, he yelled, When the enemy thinks he's won in your life, you are supposed to get goosebumps and say it is finished. And you watch the presence of God take you from death right out of a grave into life. Amen? Praise God. You guys, I don't know why we're going this direction because I got different notes, but you need to remember something. God loved you so much while you didn't look like anything that he paid Jesus for you. You've heard me say that before, but you need to hear it often. He came after you. He paid the price before you were born with you in mind. And we don't beg God to take our hand and take us in the Holy of Holies. He's begging us to come. How much more do I have to pay? I gave you blood of lambs and goats, but you know what? Sometimes when you entered, you died anyway. I don't like that. I don't understand this story. I don't have to understand it. I know that it happened. God says, not good enough. I'll give my son. So we'll even take that out. You just come on in. Man, you come in by the blood of the Lamb. You come in pure, perfect. Sin cannot enter the presence of God. By the blood of Jesus, you've been washed. You are perfect. And when you have the right to walk into the Holy of Holies. And if you have a brain cell in your head, Scott, sorry about that, you'll go in. You won't stand outside and say, you know what the song says? This is so good. Take me past the brazen altars. So the foo-foo's not going to get you there. Take me past the people that are out there singing. Wait a minute. What are they doing wrong? Don't know. But there's a hunger that has to be. I've got a hunger in me that wants to go past all that praise stuff. Then take me past those priests that are singing your praise. Oh my goodness. What am I saying now? The guys that are called to praise, take me past that. Do you have the right to act that way? I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. I want to go in further. I don't care what it is. You got a hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for where God's at and what he's doing. This should be exciting. It is exciting. It's not should be, it is. Now maybe we can finish this thing. I got that off my heart. I hope somewhere in here I hit a heart. The presence of God is all of God. What we've just talked about and much more. And if I will submit to the presence of God, then I will, by the way, a submission is to stop doing what I'm doing and do what he wants me to do. Let's just make it a simple definition. When I submit to him, give up my way, which is my lack, want, need, my goofiness, my crazy desires, my foolish wants and wishes, then I get him, his blessings, his care, his son, his forgiveness in reality. Forgiveness in book knowledge is not enough. I'm telling you something. When you were in that sea of death, and this is the best way I can put it, when you're saved from something, if you're outside of a boat and you're sinking, somebody saves you, but they don't say you've saved you from water. They pull you out from water and put you on solid ground. The true picture of salvation is you're saved from something into something. You're not just washed. The presence of God wants us to know that. Spirit of God, God himself. Any way it takes us to understand, we're in the presence of God right now. We're not going there. We're in the presence of God. If you didn't know that a while ago, if you couldn't feel that a while ago, check your sugar. I think your nerve endings are dead. Something's wrong. Number 7. Do I need to read you the first 6? Get the CD. We don't have time for that, okay? The first 6 were good. The last few, we'll see. One of the ways to get into the presence of God, remain in the presence of God, or return to the presence of God is to seek the presence of God. Well, I thought you said he was everywhere. He is. He is. He's not lost. The seeking is not because he's lost. Y'all can fill in the blanks. We've got to seek him for all answers, despite all feelings. Right? We've got to seek him for our pleasures. You want to have some fun tonight? Seek God. Want to have some fun tomorrow night? Seek God. How about tomorrow day? Seek God. How about some joy? You want some? Seek some. Say, God, I don't have enough joy. I do not. Well, man, I gave you so much joy last Sunday, you nearly went over the top of the pews. I got some more. I got some more. You want some more? Ask for it. He'll send you on such a high, you'll get addicted, and it'll be fun. And all that other stuff, you'll go, oh. We seek Him every moment of our life. We belong to Him every moment of our life. See, most people don't take that part serious. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. If you don't understand that, you're not quite a child of God yet. I was bought with a price. I was bought with a price. That is so neat. I was chosen and paid for. All of that belongs to Him. And because of that, everything I do, everything I say, everything I think needs to honor Him and to glorify Him, to bring Him honor. And as I seek, I have to seek with no strings attached. What does that mean? That means I'm walking into this bold-faced, unafraid, and I really don't much care what happens because I'm not going to worry. I told you I was going to use unusual scriptures. If you turn to Psalms, if he can get that up, Psalms chapter 27, verse 8. Let me tell you what. Your pastor's preaching truth in this house. And when truth comes to the house, life's coming to the house. You can't divide them. That's why I'm excited to stand here, because I'm standing where truth is. In Psalms 27, 8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face will I seek. Who made the invitation? See, smart people know that I'm responding to God. I'm not asking God to respond to me. Did you get it? Smart people understand. Smart in the spirit, they understand that whatever's pulling me and tugging me right now, it's God, and I'm responding to the pull and the tug of God. I didn't pray, and God visited. He said He'd give me the desires of my heart. That means He's going to put on me what to pray. So He's already made the tug. He's already made the invite. All I have to do? All right. Psalms chapter 70, verse 4. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Now, what does this say to us about how we know if we're seeking God? It says that I will rejoice and I will be glad. Does that mean I got a smile on my face all the time? No. No, sometimes if you're driving a motorcycle real fast, sometimes it's not smart to smile. You might eat a bug. It means that you're full of joy and you're glad. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. So the other way we know that somebody's seeking God is they magnify God. Why? Because they're glad and they're full of joy. And boy, things are going, it doesn't make any difference what it looks like. Things are going good. Number 8. Wealth. God's wealth is measured in and by our loyalty. Anybody that knows anything about business knows that if you have loyal employees, you have a good, sound business. It's the way it is. If you have a bunch of people that are working for the paycheck, your business is not going to be all that great. If they're working for your business, you have a good business. You have to decide who you're going to lead. I tell the guys that I hire, if you're going to come in for your paycheck, I don't want you. If you want to make the business better, you're the guy I need. You're going to get the same paycheck one way or the other, but it's an attitude. What do you think that is? Don't you think that relates with God? God's wealth is measured in and by our loyalty. You make Him rich by your sincerity. He gives wealth to those that want Him more than anything else. Shall I say that again? He gives wealth to those who want Him more than anything else. Now we understand that wealth is not always defined in who's got the biggest bank account. In fact, very seldom is it ever measured that way. But your needs will be met. You know that. To give wealth, to give joy, to give fullness, to give wisdom and health, it is God's pleasure. You want to pleasure God? Take it. Here's your Mother's Day gift. No, I don't want it. You want to make God happy? If you want to use a negative term, submit to it. Submit to His gifts to you. If you want to say it right, take it. Just take it. Don't question it. Don't look at it. Don't get the loop out and see what kind of stone looks like. Just accept it. It's His pleasure. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Why do you think He gave the covenant? It was an investment. He wanted a return. Plant a seed, get a harvest. His idea, because it works, and He's done that. That's what the covenant was for. Then He will tell you, just enter into the covenant, and He will explain to you, in simple terms, how to get wealth. Proverbs 8:19. 8:19 through 21. My fruit is better than gold. All right, now we've established a wealth other than dollar signs, right? My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue is better than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. I walk where there's righteousness. Isn't that what that says? And where there's justice. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Is this the Word of God? Is it that hard to understand? All you got to do is use how to get rich quick schemes like this, and it'll work. Buy a book, and it makes the guy that wrote the book. Wait a minute. It's the same thing. God wrote the book, right? He's willing to show us how to get rich. Why? Because it makes Him rich. He writes the book, tells us how to get healthy. Why? Because it makes Him good. Oh, man, that's great. That's what He says. This is not a hard formula. It's a very simple thing. Trust. Lean not to your understanding. Take His get rich quick, get healthy quick schemes and do them and watch it work. That's simple. Proverbs 13:22. Straight from God. Him first. Look at this. A good man, you think God's a good man? Okay. Leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Okay. Who in here is a good man? I got one woman held her hand up. Can you believe that? Who in here is a good person? All right, then what does that say you're to do? You are to leave an inheritance for your children's children. How are you going to do that? Man, I only make $100 a week and I spend $102. That was the last sentence, right? But you know what? You have to make the decision. Salvation was provided. You had to decide on it. You had to decide, I'm going to do what it takes to get and be and keep saved. Wouldn't this apply the same way? You have to make a decision that I don't care what, I'm going to leave an inheritance to my children and my children's children before God can act on that. Then the rest of this kicks in. Tell you what I'll do. You make the decision and I'll help you with it. Oh man, when God helps, it's a whole lot more than when somebody, man tells you, I'll help you. Yeah. Me and Pop shot a bear. Me and Pop got a bear. Dad shot it. Who's going to leave it? That's the decision. Who's going to leave an inheritance to your children's children? Not you. God is going to do it through you. You may write the paperwork to make it happen. You may be the trustee over the account. You may get the privilege of doing all that, but God has done it. And if you can't say that, well, anyway. Number 9, less is more. The presence of God, less is more. Let's close, more fellowship. Less coverings, more intimacy. You want fellowship with God? Don't come in with your head covered. He better be the head. And if you come in with your head uncovered, now maybe you're going to get somewhere. Oh, I got a punchline there that'll blow this place out. I'm not going to use it. I told you, no X-rated. Less is more. You have an assignment of less worry. And you're going to get more of God. Less worry, and you're going to get more of God. How do you get less worry? Every time you worry, loose it. Not my worry. Cast all your cares upon Him, and He cares for you, right? Cast your cares. You want to worry less? Every time worry comes up, and I promise you it will come up, say, not my job. Not my job. I never was given the job to worry. So if I'm worrying, I've gotten in the way of God. Just like trying to forgive. If I try to forgive you, I've gotten in the way of what God's up to. Less worry. Less toil. If you're going to leave an inheritance to your children's children, you're not going to do it by the work of your hands. Your hands just ain't that good. You're not going to do it with your terrific brain power. There's somebody out there smarter than you. You're going to do it without working at it. Well, how do you get anything done without work? Rejoice. Be glad. Loose. Trust. That's the work. Faith without works is dead. Well, that means you've got to strain and struggle. No, it means work at trusting. Work at late, working less. Cast your cares. Less dreaming. How do you like that one? Less dreaming. Less dreaming. Let God give you some visions. Let Him give you some directions. I'm not talking about giving up those things. But if we were in one of these multi-level groups, the first thing we'd have to do is have a dream night. And I'm going to stand up here and say, look how rich I am. Look at my diamonds. Look at, I rode in a Rolls Royce. My grandson has a tuxedo on. And look, this people, that's what they call a dream night. They make you drool. They ought to call it a drool night. Stop the dreaming. Do the studying. Do the test, the trusting. God has already got dreams bigger than you can ever have. Just trust Him. He's already prepared a place with streets of gold. You want to talk about drooling? Why don't you drool over something righteous? Not just gold. Invisible, clear gold. So pure, clear gold. Less self. Not about me, it's about you, God. It's not about me, it's about you, God. Here's what we do. What do you want me to do, God? I think I want to do this and that and the other. Wait a minute. Too many words here. Just a few too many words. What do you want me to do, God? Period. Don't go any further. Just now be quiet and listen to Him answer. Less self. You're going to get in the way. He's going to make the way. Less debt. Less lack. Less want. And less need. If you talk to the normal person, they'll spend most of their conversation telling you about lack, want, and need. And most Christians fit in that, unfortunately. They won't tell you about how good God is. They'll tell you how about great the debt is. Or how great the lack is. If I could only do this. There we go, that dream again. The Bible is giving you ways to take care of it. Take care of it. So we'll have a class on how to stay out of debt. I got it. Don't spin. He always uses red dress. Nobody in this place better wear a red dress. He's going to call you out in a red dress. So if a red dress is your problem, I heard a lady today. She said, it took me 12 years to get in debt and 13 years to get out. And she's standing in the mall. The guy said, well, you're standing in the mall. He said, she said, I don't have my purse. So you had a plan, see? Those are just things that everybody knows. That's not special words from God. That's just math. Don't create your problems and you won't have the problems, okay? Less judging. Does that mean we never judge? No, we always judge. We always. We're required to judge everything except people. See, I can look at this gentleman right here and I can say, I can't wear those shorts to church. And you know what comes across to him? He doesn't want me to wear shorts to church. I didn't want to say it. You ain't seen my legs. See, I just finished the sentence. So I'm not going to wear those shorts to church. You know, that's a little bit of laughing matter, but this is how people... It's all right to not do some things. Just don't pass it on to somebody else. It's all right to do things. Don't pass it on to somebody else. Don't put judgments on people. Put them on yourself. Put them on... I'm not talking about negative things. Put it on those things that I can't do. I can't eat Brussels sprouts. That make Brussels sprouts bad? No, it makes them bad for me. Let's just treat life that way. It's that simple. Less forgiving, more loosing, less grudges. Let's leave it at that. What time is it? Okay, I think I'll make it. In Psalms chapter 140, verse 13, the righteous shall give thanks unto the name of God, unto Jesus. You say it however it works out with you. The upright shall dwell in the presence of God. How are you going to dwell in the presence of God? You're going to be righteous and you're going to give thanks to God's name. You're going to give God's all praise and all glory, and it's going to make you righteous. And for that, you'll dwell in the presence. Well, the enemy's going to come along and say, you're not in the presence of God. Just point to the rule book. I didn't make these decisions. You can't tell me I'm not there. That says I'm there. I'm there. Zephaniah 1, verse 7. Y'all can definitely look up here. You probably don't know where that is. I don't either. Well, I looked it up, but I mean, hold your peace at the presence of the Lord God. Well, now, if God is here, is he here? What does it say I need to do? Hold my peace. For the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. He has said, come on, guys. You know where we have to be quiet? Well, I'm not going to be in the same place as that hypocrite. Oh, we're in trouble. He made the guest list. He prepared the party, and he wants you to be quiet about it. Let's move on. It's getting quiet. Number 10, trust him. It's the first and the last. It's the beginning and the end. Trust. I promise you, practice this. Practice it somewhere. If you want to express your feelings to somebody, don't tell them you love them. Tell them you trust them. And see if it doesn't change you. Don't tell God. Don't tell God anymore that you love him. Tell him you trust him. Mean it with all your heart. That means it doesn't look, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. God, you are on the job. I'm not calling 911. I'm calling Psalms 91:1. I'm not going to be yelling help to anybody but my God. Why? Because I trust him. How can you trust him that much? He's proven himself to me. How do you do that? I trusted him. You're never going to find out how good God is unless you learn to trust him. Trust him and him only. Never trust your flesh. Only trust God and his word. Never trust your eyes, your feelings, your wants, your wishes. Trust his. Because his wants, his feelings, what he sees, what he knows is so far above ours. We just need to be silent in his presence. 2 Samuel 22. Verse 2 through 4. Ready? I am to say, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. He's the God of my strength. Who am I trusting in? He's my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold and my refuge. He's my Savior. He saved me from violence. I have always and I will continue to call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, no matter what I ask and no matter what he does. Therefore, because I called on him and I trust him, I'll be saved from the enemies that will always be out there. You've got enemies. Why? Because the minute you side with God, you have a big enemy. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. First your mental process. Then your heart surety. The surety in your life. He wants to take that away. How does most of it happen? A lightning bug on the end of a stick. Don't mean to be rude, but very few of us can stand up against anything. We can go boom, and all of a sudden, this little liquid goes down the seat. My dad used to call that a lightning bug on the end of a stick. You could take a lightning bug on the end of a stick and run him clear out of the country. Don't you think the enemy's got a little more than a boo in him? He's got some hellacious threats. Cancer. I've said it before, all you women, you deserve cancer. The medical community says so. It's in your genes. I need to wash my genes. Isn't that what the blood of Jesus said? Wash your genes. You made a mess in them, wash them. I'll help you. Here's the detergent that'll do it. White as snow. Amen? Psalms 9:10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. How do I know if you know the name of the Lord? That means you're intimate with the Lord. You'll trust Him. That's what it says. For Thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Look, there's your formula again. If I'm seeking Him, He's not going to let anything happen to me. If I'm using Him as a life preserver, I may not have the surety. I'm being saved from something into something. I'm not going to stop in the middle. Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord God, He's my strength. Who in the world else can I trust in? See, here's the question you really need to get down. There's nobody else to trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, He's my stronghold. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we've talked about this before. Proverbs, by the way, is my high tower too. You know, the floods can't even get me. No tidal waves, no tsunamis, no nothing. Go on to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Last one for now. What does it say? Okay. Now y'all read it. See, I even gave time for the slow readers. Just learn it. Eat this. Absorb it. Digest it. And then let it come out when there's pressure's on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways, even when it's rough. Acknowledge Him. And if you're saying, Lord, I trust You. Lord, I trust You. He doesn't have to say, well, you're on the wrong path. It just says He'll direct your path. So somehow I got off the wrong path and I got on the right path because I trusted Him. I didn't lean to my own understanding, my own compass. I acknowledged that He was my Lord, my God, my Savior, my healer, my provider. And even if I was on the wrong path, He directed me back to the right way. God's a good God. He didn't just become a good God. He's never been anything else. Now, is He good to you? Is He so good you trust Him in all your ways? If you can get this down, then the joy of the Lord can rise up. What is the joy of the Lord? Peace in the middle of the night, peace in the middle of the day. Booger bear comes in the middle of the night, not as big as God. If you don't believe it, say so. You watch it be true. Got a debt over here bigger than the money you make? Probably so. Cast all of your cares upon Him. See if He's got enough to pay for the bill. How about your healing? What can get on you that God can't wash off? How long did Jesus work to take care of this for you? Do you know most people can't give God a day? They're a little bit too much in a hurry. They won't even trust Him 24 hours. They won't even trust Him a long weekend. Y'all have any idea what I'm talking about? Let's at least give God a good long weekend. Let's, when we have a problem, when we have a sickness, a disease, whatever it is, let's at least spend a long weekend with Him and see if we can't be raised from that tomb. Amen? Y'all stand. Yes. Okay, if you didn't hear that, he brought some CDs and things back there in the back. Sounds like at least some of them are music, or all of them music. And he said, you're welcome to them. He's planting a seed. You've already got the harvest figured out, right? You planted a seed. You got your harvest?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear? Need to pray about anything? I'm okay. You're okay, right? All right. Let's pray, Rick. Go ahead. Bad dreams?
Lots of blood.
Good. Good. Father, what was meant for bad, turn it to good. Give some explanation to the, not the threat of blood, but the promise in blood. and let her begin to stand against those things, and let this gentleman stand with her. As understanding and revelation happens, which we speak now in Jesus' name, that what was meant for bad will be turned to good. And let her and him begin to understand that a threat is only a false promise. It's a word of God been turned in reverse. We have the word of God. Let's destroy the threats of the enemy with the word of God. And Father, we now speak to, we speak that to everybody here, that where there's a threat, there's a fear. And if he can make us afraid, we lose our faith. We need to learn to speak the word of God to a threat, then fear must run. Teach us that. Take this word. Take this word that I know that you use tonight. It's you. Enter into these hearts. Change these hearts and lives. Not that they're bad. We're not talking about that. We're talking about making good things better. That's what I ask you to do in me. That's what I ask you to do in your people tonight. To take these people, rejuvenate them, strengthen them, give them a boldness they've never had before. And one of these days when the pastor stands up and quotes scripture such as joy and gladness, those things, that we just blow him back up against this stage. Just surprise him like he likes to surprise. Because of our excitement, because of our visitation with you. In the meantime, we receive with thanksgiving and joy. We'll never leave nor forsake you. We've already got your promise. Now we make it to you. We speak health, we speak wealth, we speak wisdom, we speak revelation knowledge. Not in that order, it's your order. Do your work. For these things, we ask you and thank you in the name that takes dominion over every other name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be dismissed.